Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you are new and exploring the Beloved City Church family, welcome. Or maybe you're new to exploring faith and spirituality, big questions of life. We're so glad you're here. Welcome. We truly are glad that you've jumped online with us in this moment. Today we are continuing in a series on Holy Spirit. That's what we've been talking about 1 week, so we're on the second session, talking about God in spirit form. He's often called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The word found in the Old Testament translated as spirit is the word ruach, which means a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation. And in the New Testament, the Greek word translated as spirit is the word pneuma, which means a current of air, a blast of breath, and a strong breeze. The Holy Spirit is like the wind of God. Sometimes he comes as a gentle breeze, and other times he comes as a mighty rushing wind of power. And we see the Holy Spirit referenced in Scripture as descending like a dove, which is gentle, right? And baptizes with fire, it's all consuming. A comforter who guides and corrects. You're not alone to figure out life out by yourself. He is the Spirit of life in a world filled with death and evil. The voice of God cutting through the noise of our culture. That sense of truth in a confusing and dark world. When you feel alone, lost, and afraid, without hope, he is there with you in the quiet and in the chaos. He will carry you and lead you home. So today, I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week was the presence of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to talk about the power. In the library of books we call the Bible today, we refer to the pre-Jesus era as the Old Testament. And in this portion of books, we see the power of the Spirit working in countless and different ways. The Holy Spirit one time gave Joseph, a character in the Old Testament, the skill to rule over Egypt. The Spirit gave Joshua military power. The Holy Spirit gave words to prophets, to the ancients, to speak prophetically over God's people. One time the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and gave him power to lead the people into battle. In Judges chapter 14 and 6, as hard as it might be for some to believe, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as if he might have torn a young goat, right? Crazy. And in 1 Samuel 10, 6 shows the words of Samuel to Saul. The Spirit of the Lord, it says, will come upon you in power and you will prophesy with them and you will be changed into a different person. We're talking the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you in power. It's beautiful. And there's so many more references than what I'm able to offer over these next few moments with you. In the New Testament, that is where Jesus steps into the scene. We also see the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere. In fact, Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see this in Luke chapter 1, when Mary wondered, how could this ever be? She asked the question, well, how will this be when the angel had told her that you're going to conceive? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin, how in the world? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. When Jesus gave his life for our sins on the cross, the Bible says the Son of God was raised from the dead again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. He, Jesus Christ, our Lord, then also before Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised his followers that he would send them a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift that is available to all humanity. He said, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. That same powerful Spirit is available to all who still believe in Jesus today. It was foretold of by the ancients. It was promised to every generation, every tongue, tribe, and nation. And beyond the small area of geography that Jesus physically walked to the uttermost ends of the earth. It's beautiful. So if you have your Bibles with you in this next few moments, let's open them up to the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, in the New Testament portion of the collection of books we call the Bible, Acts chapter 1. We are in a series called Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, and today we are looking at the power of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit as you are getting your Bibles out, your smartphones, your notepads. Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you today. So Holy Spirit, anoint our ears to hear. How many of you that are as Christ followers or Christians, how many of you might say, I know someone who is a Christian that seems to have more spiritual power than I? Might be a great question, right? Good question to ask. How many of you would say that I actually know someone like that? I know I have. And some of you listening might as well. If you haven't witnessed this, you will. At some point in your life, you will see someone else or be with someone else or in a relationship with someone. And there's something uniquely different. They seem to have just a little bit more of something than I do spiritually. Now hear me for a moment. I'm not advocating comparison amongst yourselves either, but for the sake of being apprentices, or disciples and students of the way of Jesus, you will at some point in your life be around someone who you might be like, man, surely God is with this person. It's something unique and distinct. Like maybe when they pray, their prayers feel powerful and intense or something. Or you might think, man, if I were God, I would definitely be answering their prayers. They just sound so powerful, right? Others, well, maybe over a conversation with them, they just seem to be able to quote Bible verses in such a way that just pierces through the situation. And they seem to know a Bible verse for everything. And maybe it's almost annoying in some ways. But that's where the well-versed maybe saying, I don't know if it does or not. But who knows? But you might be like, what? How do they do that? I can barely remember what day it is. Or maybe when something happens or something goes wrong, they just seem like they're unshaken and they're not intimidated. They're so stable, mature. They just seem to have this real genuine and deep spiritual assurance. I too personally have known men and women of God who walk in what might seem a different closeness with God. I remember Sister Tina Walls very fondly as a kid growing up. I'd be going into the church, maybe even on an off night when it wasn't even church. We were going there to clean the church or whatever. And she would be in the prayer room praying. But not just fancy worded prayers like we often do, but in deep groanings and intercession. It was different than our fathers that we often do. That's all good and fine. I'm not saying it's not, but there's something different about what is going on in this woman's prayer life. Praying for lost souls, praying for this city, praying for our pastors, praying for our loved ones. I always knew if I ever needed prayer, she'd be the first one I'd be going to straight away. Sister Tina, she was living in a whole other world of faith and presence. And I desired to be like her, to walk like her in her faith with God. Yet you might wonder, how is it that they seem to walk in a different power and authority than I do? Could the answer be that they might be walking in more power than I actually am? Yeah, in reality, I think so. I truly believe there are many people who are living in a frame of mind or a posture that is more surrendered to the power that is available by God through the Holy Spirit, like in a different level of awareness, maybe. I know you might say, well, that's just unfair. Well, let me explain this for you. I remember here's a story on our acreage back in Alberta. I was readying the pasture for our horses and our new land that we bought. And I was putting up some fencing and I was being kind of cheap financially. And I was putting up a wire fence for the pasture. So I went and rented a fence post pounder, this metal cylinder with two handles on it. You slide it over the top of the post and you start pounding this post into the ground by hand. Now get this, we've got 6 foot post. They've got to go into this ground 6 feet and there's rocks and it's hard, it's clay. I had a lot of up and down pounding to do. I did this for a couple days and I was beat. I mean, I was absolutely beat. I finally was like, I'm exhausted. If I don't get some help, I'm not going to be able to finish this. I need the energy to do this in a timely manner. So what do? I went down to the local farm supply store, thank God, and rented one of their hydraulic trailer mounted post pounders equipment. Brilliant, right? Wow, what did I think of that beginning? Came home, set my first post and lifted this little tiny handle up and down and voila, that post was in the ground in minutes rather than in hours. Like, what the heck was I thinking, right? That I was Superman? I was just going to be like, yeah, man, no big deal. I got my pipes. I'm just going to pound these 200 posts in by hand. Kind of arrogant, right? See, Christians like I did today all over the world are still trying to pound through their lives with a measly old post pounder. Putting on their little work gloves and burning themselves out, taking time to do something the cheap and old-fashioned way that simply and frankly is a misuse and poor stewardship of our time and our energy and our finance. We're going to live the Christian life my way, right? And I'm my own strength. Well, because I'm independent, right? That's the buzzword today. I've got this. Watch me. I've got it, right? Yeah, famous last words, right? And we strive and we fight and we battle and we don't get very far. Why? Because we are trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. When there's a far greater power, I hope someone is getting this, what I'm putting down today on this table. There is a far greater power, friends, that's available to you and I for free, for us to live within and from. Now, the Bible says this, and this is quite amazing. To those of you who believe in Christ, you have access to the very same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave. That's what the Bible says to us. Can you imagine post-pounding by hand when just behind the barn is a hydraulic post pounder sitting there waiting for you to use it? And there you be, beating your brow, sweating to death, laid out exhausted on the floor. Some of you are living your Christ following life in this manner, yet you can be filled with the powerful Spirit of God And you can have the ability to live a very supernatural life in this very natural world. And yet here we are, so many Jesus followers, putting on our little work gloves and grabbing for the post pounder to struggle without the power available through the Holy Spirit. Maybe you call it flexing. I'd say, friends, you have access to the same power that raised Christ from the very dead. What? Quit your flexing, friends. Let it go. This independent way of things, it's interdependence. You need the Holy Spirit. Stop resisting the Holy Spirit and let him empower you. Acts chapter 1. Here's the context. We're going to get back into this. Jesus had already died on the cross. He rose from the grave and he was with his disciples having this conversation with them before he would ascend into heaven. And here's how the conversation went in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, which my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about. I told you about this. This is his promise. My Father's going to send it. What do you think this gift was, friends? It was the Holy Spirit. Now, we studied this last weekend in John chapter 14 when Jesus said, I'm going to go away and send a gift to you, and this is going to be better than if I were actually with you. I must go away. This is going to be the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say this. So in verse 5 of Acts chapter 1, he says, for John, and he's referring to John the Baptist here, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we have learned this before in our last couple series back, but it's so worth learning and repeating again since we're exploring Holy Spirit. Now, baptism, I believe it is incredibly important for us to understand the invitation of the promise of the Spirit. And I think this might actually help us to gain a fuller understanding. In the Greek, which much of the New Testament, when it was originally written, was written in Greek, about 70%. Unlike the Old Testament was mostly written in Hebrew. The Bible actually wasn't written in English, so unfortunately. So there are two words in Greek that have similar meanings, bapto and baptizo. Both of these words can be used for dipping or immersing. So you will find them in different moments and writings of various religious and even scientific writings around being dipped in something. But the New Testament writers exclusively used the word baptizo and not bapto whenever it talks about baptism. And the reason for that is best illustrated when you look at an ancient pickling recipe. You're like, what? A pickling recipe? Ready for this? Because an ancient pickling recipe uses both bapto and baptizo. This is for an illustration for you. And it reveals the significance of baptizo. See, in an ancient pickling recipe using these Greek words, it says, take the cucumber and bapto it, dip it in boiling water. And then baptizo it, dip it, immerse it into vinegar, and keep it there. The point being that the initial dipping is momentary. And this momentary dipping does not alter anything for the cucumber, right? But the baptizo is an entirely different thing because what goes in as a cucumber, friend, comes out as a pickle. Why? Because it has been overwhelmed, transformed by the solution that it is immersed in. See, when the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples, baptizing them as Jesus promises, what happens is that they go in as cucumbers and they come out as pickles, completely different. Same look in some ways, but different. What happens is they are overwhelmed by the solution that they find themselves in. They are overwhelmed by the nature of God around them and in them. And suddenly everything changes so that these men and women who were tarrying and waiting in an upper room in the book of Acts stand up and start speaking in tongues and prophesying with courage and boldness. Why? Because they had just been pickled in the Holy Spirit. We, friends, we've got to understand that as we invite Holy Spirit and we desire to receive Holy Spirit, what we are saying is, come Holy Spirit and pickle me, transform me, change me, come and overwhelm my life. So what's going to happen to you when this takes place? Well, verse 8 of Acts 1, he says, but you will receive power. Can you say it, friends? Say it with me, power. Touch your neighbor if you're standing with Simon right now listening. Say power. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, what will you be able to do with this power? What is the power for? He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and baptizes you and transforms you, you will receive power. Now, one more step further. This word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, dunamis. And this is where we actually get our word for dynamite, from the word dunamis. It means a force. It means a miraculous power. And so if you're taking notes right now, it means the explosive power of God is in you when you're baptizo, when you're immersed and transformed by the Holy Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it will pickle you. He will pickle you and transform you, and you will have dunamis, the explosive power of God residing in you. Then he says this to his disciples, you're going to be empowered by the Spirit. To what? To take my message and be my witness into all the world. You might say, well, what's the big deal about that, right? Remember, context. You have to remember exactly who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to his disciples who for the last 3 years, who had been walking with Jesus in the literal physical world and couldn't get much right. They still couldn't get it figured out. Never one time did Jesus say to his disciples, man, you guys have so much faith. You've got this all figured out. I don't even know why I'm here, right? No. That over and over again, he said, don't you guys get it? Don't you see it? You are with me and you still have such little faith. Peter, one of his followers who seemed to be kind of a ringleader in that time, he said, Jesus, I'm with you all the time. I will never leave you. And then right before the cross, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. And then at the cross, after Jesus had already said, I'm going to give my life, only one of the 12 actually showed up, John. The others were all hiding and cowering in fear somewhere. Jesus died though, and he rose from the grave. And where were his fearless disciples when he returned? Locked up in a little room, scared to death of the Jewish authorities. Jesus comes in there and says, hey, guess what? I'm here. And they couldn't believe it. Yes, we already heard the woman who came back and they were at the tomb and they told us what they saw, but we still didn't believe. Remember Thomas? We call him Doubting Thomas sometimes. He who heard from the other 10 that he was back alive and then actually saw him in the flesh. And he still said, I don't believe it, until he touched the scars in his hands and thrust his hand into his side. These are the men that Jesus looked at, a very ordinary man, and said, you will have power to take this message all over the world. And here we are at this moment still today, declaring the lordship of Jesus Christ all around the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon some very ordinary people and gave them the power to take this message and to proclaim this good news all over the world that Jesus is enough. Many of whom were killed for their faith. This same powerful Spirit is still available to all who believe today. So friends, I'm inviting you to take off your little work gloves and to put away your post pounder and stop trying to do the good Christian life in your own limited strength. And would you come along with me and follow Jesus along with me? Surrender to the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. And next week, we're going to further unpack this and talk about the power of the Spirit in spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit. This week, though, I want to show you 4 distinct qualities that the power of the Holy Spirit wants to give to all believers. You ready? So if you have your notebook or smartphone ready, write these down. Let's get practical for a moment. 4 distinct qualities. The first one is the Holy Spirit gives you power to share Christ boldly. I know. Holy Spirit desires to give you the power to share Christ boldly. Looking at the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4 and 5, he said this, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but my message came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but instead on God's power. He said, I'm not the most eloquent speaker, but when you saw me show up, the power of the Holy Spirit was present and was there. And quite honestly, that's where I feel sometimes grown to rely on every single week as I show up. I know that I'm not the smartest, I'm not the best or the brightest, most talented by far, but that is not the point. Yes, I study and I learn and I'm willing and I will pursue excellence, but God can take my efforts and my words and by the power of the Holy Spirit, use them in a particular way that would speak directly into your heart and life. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not me. It's God working through the Holy Spirit that enables us to communicate the message of Christ in a life-transforming way. Why? Because we exist to make an eternal impact in our city, friends. I remember when I was a young preacher, I would be so nervous, 17, 18 years of age, just getting into preaching, I guess you might say, trying my best to preach. And thank God for good men and women around me in my life who had the patience to mentor the next generation to lean into their calling. If you have ever felt uncomfortable or underqualified or unworthy and not good enough to share your faith, stop it. Stop partnering with the lies and half-truths of the devil. Hey, I get it. But you and I have been given the power of the Holy Spirit and commissioned to go and preach, to declare the good news, to be literal witnesses of the life and Spirit of Christ who transforms lives today. I truly am a witness of the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So stop waiting to be great. or to have it all figured out in order to share about how Jesus has changed your life. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit with boldness, friends. And while I'm on this, read your Bible. Pray, fast, live in a life that is set apart for His kingdom purposes. You will be a demonstration of the good news of Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives me power to share Christ with others. And He will give you that same power if you will trust Him. If you would be willing this week, you watch. You're going to be in a conversation with someone, those of you that are believers in Jesus, and you're going to feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. And you're going to feel, this person needs God. And right there, I've got an opening. And sure, you might hesitate, but follow the prompting of the Spirit. You might say, but I don't know what to say. Step out in faith, friends, and be bold and just do it. And watch what the Holy Spirit does. There have been moments in my life that I've sensed, hey, this is a God moment. And I stepped out in faith and I didn't have all the words scripted out for me, but sensed that God wanted to say something to this person. And so what do I open up my mouth in obedience to speak, and God's love and compassion starts to speak through me. And even scripture all of a sudden starts to come to my mind that you might even have to go back and look up later just to make sure that it was there and you didn't make it up. And it will be because the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, friends. You just might even come to a point in your willingness to be available for the Holy Spirit where you were just like, hey, you know what? Do you mind if I pray for you? I've never had anyone refuse to be prayed for when I've asked, can I pray for you? I know I might not be great with prayers and eloquent like Paul says, and who cares if you are a good prayer? Just pray. Just talk to God with that person. Be real. Be authentic. And the next thing you know, you'll be praying all of a sudden that this prayer comes with power out of nowhere, and you'll be filled with faith for what you're praying for. And what is that? That is the power of the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. Another regular person just like me, just like the one beside you where you're sitting today, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to share Christ boldly. And you can access and walk in that very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He is available to you, and He will come upon you in power when you trust Him, when you surrender. So number one distinct quality is He will give you power to share Christ boldly. The second distinct quality is He will give you power when you are weak. How many of you have felt weak in your life? I know I have. Now, I truly believe this is going to be to speak to some of you in this moment. He will give you power when you are weak. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, how does He help us? Too many ways to count, friends. But one of the ways is that He prays for us. Watch this. The Bible says we don't even know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans, and that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we are weak. Here's the deal. Many of you who have put on your work gloves and picked up that post pounder and trying to do this on your own, yet where you are weak is where God's Spirit is made perfect. I'll give you an example. I used to work out, as you can tell. I've not been working out for a while. But I remember when I was really into working out and doing resistance style training, weightlifting, I would work out with a buddy and we would spot for each other. And when we were doing some serious bench pressing or some deadlifts, the job of the spotter was to help me or the other one finish the set, if need be. When you had pushed and you exhausted your muscles and you didn't have a spotter, you would actually be at risk of hurting yourself and in a real bad situation. It would often be in that last set. You're doing three sets of 10 and you're in that last set. I'd be pushing up 21, 20, 28. And your arms are all shaky and muscles are burning. And the spotter would be encouraging, like, come on, you can do it. Three more, two more. Come on, push, buddy, go, let's go. You got this. And at that failure moment, that unsafe moment, you would shout, lift. And Mr. Spotter would help you guide that last rep or two back into safety. He's positioned, kind of helping me, kind of guiding it, taking some of the weight off of me so that I could safely finish the set. In a real sense, friends, this is a picture of what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life and in your life if you would allow, if you would surrender. When we get to the end of our strength, the Holy Spirit is strong where we cannot be strong. And He can do that for you and me. He helps us and gives us power in our weakness. Would you let Him? Now, this is something that the Holy Spirit does for me in my weakness. And I believe with everything in me that wherever you are weak today, the Holy Spirit can be strong. You may be a parent and you're going, I don't know what to do with these kids. They're too much. The Holy Spirit can give you wisdom. Ask Him. Maybe you have a big presentation coming up at work, at school, and you're like, I'm the worst in front of people. I panic. I freeze. My voice shakes and my heart beats out of my chest. Ask the Holy Spirit where you are weak and He can be strong. Maybe you have a vice in your life that just isn't life-giving and you want to break free from this stronghold. Maybe that secret sin in your life that you just cannot overcome on your own power and you've been trying really hard. You've been trying to pound that post by hand, working hard, overwhelmed, frustrated, exhausted, and are feeling even now, I just can't do this, and I just can't. The Holy Spirit of God can and desires to give you power where you are weak, friends. Call on Him. Look at what the Bible says. Listen to this, friends. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, this was Paul, and he was complaining about this thorn in his flesh, and he says, God, take it away, take it away, take it away. And here's what God says. My grace, Paul, is sufficient for you, for my power is actually made perfect and is demonstrated as perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast, he says, all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For where I am weak, then I am strong. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will give you power to share Christ boldly. And He will give you power when you are weak. You with me, friends? The third distinct quality is He will give you power to have hope in a hopeless world. Now, this thought and this scripture for many of you will be life-giving today. Let the Spirit speak to you in this next few moments. Romans 16 and 13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that again. So that you may overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Too many people today have very limited hope. Not overflowing with hope, but have very limited hope, right? For example, if we put our hope in anything beside God, our hope is going to be limited. If we put our hope in ourselves, we have limited hope. If we put our hope in other people, again, our hope is limited. If we put our hope in our money, it's limited. In our circumstances, it will only take us so far. Our hope is limited because it's not put in an unlimited God. The good news is this, though. If you put your hope in God, He can cause you to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're hurting today, if you're afraid, put your hope in God, friends, and let Him overflow in your life with joy and hope by the power of the Spirit. When you lose your job, continue to put your hope in God, and He will be your provider. When you find out that someone you love is sick, continue to put your hope in God and let the Holy Spirit be your healer. If you find yourself worried about tomorrow, put your hope in God and let the Holy Spirit be your comforter. If you lose someone you love, and as much as it hurts, we don't have to grieve like those who have no hope. We instead can put our hope in God and the promise of the resurrection and glory of eternity in heaven. Put your hope in God, friends. Those who hope in anything else will have limited hope. And Scripture says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you are feeling hopeless today in something or somewhere in your life, I pray that this verse comes alive to you, becomes really real to you, so that even though you don't see anything that you can have hope in this moment, that you could overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you have to muster up on your own. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you will overflow with hope. Friends, put your hope in God. Now, the fourth distinct quality that I want to show you today, I believe, and we're almost finished here, I believe is unquestionably the most important, and that is, if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience the fullness, all the fullness of God. Some of you may be saying, well, what does that mean, the fullness of God? Here's what I've noticed in our church and in our country. I believe so many people have reduced Christianity down to the lowest common denominators. Christianity for so many people today is, yeah, I believe in God. I believe there is a God. Yeah, I did the Jesus pray thing and checked the box there and maybe got baptized when I was whatever, 15 or 19. I joined a church roster and they email me every week. I read the Bible every now and then and then maybe kind of try to be a good person, right? When you and I look at our own lives with honesty, friends, and the lives of many Christians today, we don't look much like Christ. What you might see is something that really doesn't look much different than the rest of the world, like we've talked about before. Still hurting and still confused, still addicted, still filled with worries, still broke, still struggling in our marriages, no real faith, no real victory. Why? Because there's no power. You are living on your own strength, friends. Paul, when he was writing to the young pastor Timothy, who was pastoring in the church in Ephesus, he writes this from prison, addressing a very similar issue that we still are facing today. In 2 Timothy 3 and 1 to 5, Paul says this, but understand this, friends, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. We're living in that last day, friend, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Paul says, avoid such people. Friends, last week, I cautioned you and I to not resist the Holy Spirit, but to welcome. Today, I'm encouraging you in this. Don't deny the power of godliness, the power of the Holy Spirit, the very mind and character of God working in you, in your life, the power to guide your life, the power to sense His rightful authority in your life. So many people don't really understand who God is and what He has for us. The Holy Spirit will give you power to experience all the fullness of God. Paul prayed this over the believers in Ephesus, and I'm praying this over you as our church family today. He prayed this in Ephesians 3 and 16 to 19. I pray that out of His glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power. Now, where does this power come from? Power through the Spirit. Through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Why? Because you need this power. That you may have power together with all the saints, he continues on, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that His love surpasses the knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, His mind and character in you through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. If you have ever wondered, is there more to Christianity? There's got to be more than just trying to do some good stuff. Well, the answer is absolutely yes. There is so much more than just trying to do good stuff. There is the reality of the constant presence of God through the Holy Spirit, like we learned last week, presence that you can have with you all the time that will never abandon you, this peace that surpasses all human ability to understand, and this will produce such beautiful fruit in you, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control, that you can be led by the Spirit, you can walk by faith and not by sight. You can have a joy unspeakable that moves your face. That you can have a supernatural strength to overcome sin and shame and broken habits. That you can be rooted and established in the secure and sincere love of Christ. And you can live a supernatural life in this very natural world, friends. You will never do it by your own strength. Most of you have already tried and it's not working. Didn't work and will never work. But there is another power that is available to you. Will you call on Him, surrender to Him, and watch the Holy Spirit fill your life and transform your life, strengthen you, comfort you, guide you, counsel you, be your intercessor, empower you to live the life that you are absolutely incapable of living on your own, a life that will bring glory and honor to our God in heaven. Holy Spirit gives us power. We're talking about power of the Holy Spirit today. Thank you, Jesus. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us, that you would touch us, and that you would move freely, Lord, in this place, in this home, and where we're sitting. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower ordinary people, ordinary Christians, to live an extraordinary Spirit-filled life. Fill us to overflowing. We invite you to rule and to reign in our lives. Help us to overcome our flesh, sin, shame, and broken habits. Help us to surrender fully to your presence and power. We desire to please you and to walk with you in relationship and to live for you in every way that we possibly can. For those of you in this room who might say, I'm a believer, unquestionably, but I'm not living with this power. This is your moment. I believe it's real and I want it. If there's more of God and He has more for me, I want it. Can you make this prayer personal? Holy Spirit, fill me. Baptize me, pickle me, overwhelm me, and reveal to me everything in me that I can surrender to you and give to you, my fears, my broken, my shame. I know I'm weak on my own. I truly need your strength, Holy Spirit. I may not be good at sharing my faith. I need your power. I'm hurting in this moment, and I need your hope. Thank you that I have begun this journey to know you, God, personally. Holy Spirit, can you give me everything that God wants me to have? Fill us, baptize us, change us, transform us. May we be fully immersed in the power of your Spirit. Come upon us boldly by the power of your Spirit. Even Lord Jesus, even in this moment, may we experience you where we're sitting, Holy Spirit. Break off the strongholds, vices, and old mindsets, addictions, and apathy. God, even those who have very practical struggles in this moment who are listening right now, I pray that you would be strong where they are weak. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to reveal to us who you are and how much you love us and desire us and what really matters in life. We desire to enjoy the fullness of God through your love, empowered by your Spirit. Thank you for drawing us closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, friends, hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus, to be a friend of Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized as Jesus commanded, he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity in us and in others. Will you take a step to partner with us at Beloved City Church? Help us grow the day-to-day ministries, reaching those who are far from God and making an eternal impact. Wow, it's fun. We love it. Here's how you can do it. Join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night. Go on our website. Discover what it means to be a family member of this local church. Join the Grow Team and help serve back into that family, serving others. Work alongside a team here at Beloved City Church. Let's make an eternal impact together. And last but not least, would you prayerfully consider worshiping with your finances and to give financially to support the day-to-day ministries at Beloved City. Help us grow a thriving church in this city and beyond. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We are praying for you. May God reveal himself in you and through you in a powerful way this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.